Everybody looks happy in the house. I just want to say we're going to get right into the Word, but first I want to send, relay greetings from Pastors Mark and Brenda, who are in Minnesota, as they're honored to be a part of the celebration for Reverend Jim Caseman's 50 years of ministry. Wow, right? Praise God for the faithfulness of His servants. Amen? So we're just grateful. We're very grateful for the Caseman ministry and for what he means to us, what he means to our church. We go way back, but they go way back with Pastor Mark. There may not be a Pastor Mark if there wasn't Jim Caseman. I just want to tell you straight right now. Brother Caseman held his hand through and introduced him to the Word of Faith and changed his life forever. And consequently, here we are. Hallelujah. We've been changed forever too. So we owe a debt of gratitude for what the Lord has done. Amen and amen. So let's see. Let's get into the Word. Are you ready to get into the Word of God? Lord, thank you for utterance tonight. Thank you for our friends here in the house. And thank you for the friends at home. Let this Word, Father, be what you want to say in Jesus' mighty name. I'm persuaded, Father, that you have good things for your people tonight in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. I want to say that the first time I walked into the doors of what then was East Bay Faith Center, something was very different about that place. It was on Fargo Avenue for me, very reverberant high school auditorium. And I want to tell you something. I just knew something in my heart was different about this place. Even from the first word I heard pastor speaking, and this group of people were hungry. And I said, man, this is amazing. And you know what? God still has me here. I haven't moved. It's been over 40 years now. And I want you to know God did it for me. I sensed the presence of God. And maybe some of you sent the same thing. But it was the presence of God, and it was the Word of God that was strong. It was strong. It was pure, unadulterated. And I felt really, really comfortable and challenged, but comfortable in the Word of God. A safe place, if you will. Turn with me in your Bibles, if you will, to Psalm 92, verse 12 through 14. Pastor did a wonderful message on Sunday morning. He launched his series on flourishing. And I'm just going to start reading just a few scriptures before we get into our subject tonight. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house, say planted in the house. That's right. In the house of the Lord. It says that shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age, and they shall be fresh and flourishing. So I'm not going to say that I'm old, but I'm certainly older. It was a long time ago when I was early 20s, and I walked in through the back door, and I said, like, wow, this is a special place. And I never left, you know, just stuck around, praise God. But I want you to know that I was planted in the house. Amen. And I like what Brother Moore shared. How is it that a redwood tree gets to be so big and so majestic? It doesn't. Go ahead. It doesn't. It doesn't move. And a lot of people, they come up to me like, you're still here? Yeah, I am. And I believe God is so good to us that we flourish in the house of our God. Amen. But let's look at Psalm 122, verse 1, just a few scriptures as we start out. I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. You know, sometimes going to church can be a drudge, but not in this place. There's never a dull moment at Heart of the Bay, is there? Come on. This is such an amazing place, and there are reasons for it. We'll get into some of that a little later. Psalm 23, verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Say it with me. And I will what? I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah. Psalm 27:4 says this. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may do what? Dwell in the house of the Lord to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in His temple. Praise the Lord. So I like to, I'm gonna finish off this preliminary scripture with Psalm 100, and I think it's the entire thing. It's only five verses. Make a joyful shout to the Lord. One translation says joyful noise, and if you come to Heart of the Bay, you know we make joyful noises. Right, Heart of the Bay? There's a lot of joy in this house. It says, all ye lands, serve the Lord with sadness. No. Sorry, I misread. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. It is He who made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with what? Thanksgiving, and His courts with praise. Praise the Lord. We encourage our friends and parishioners to put on the garment of praise. Hallelujah. We sure do. Put your praise on. Hallelujah. And sometimes there are some situations that are not that easy, but like one singer said, you got to put a praise on it. How, you know, when you put a praise on something, it's always better. Hallelujah. I see Lynn. Hey, Lynn, how you doing? Congratulations. Yeah, listen. It says here, enter His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. I learned a while ago that being thankful is a whole lot better than complaining or pointing certain things out. We thought I'd be constructive here and point some things out. How about being thankful? How about being thankful that you're breathing right now? Hallelujah. How about being thankful that we have a nice place to meet? Praise the Lord. That everybody's safe. How about being thankful that we have parking lot security? Hallelujah. I just thought I'd put a plug in there. You guys are just awesome, our parking lot security, and there's a space for you if you're interested. I hope you are. God is good. Hallelujah. Anna, are you here? I don't know if Anna's here or not. Cisco, are you here? Okay. Anyway, praise the Lord. Anyway, for His mercy is everlasting. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. So I have a question for us. What makes the house of the Lord so special? We just went through several scripture where the psalmist, who mentioned again and again how much he was impassioned about the house of the Lord and how he wants to go to the house. You know, I grew up in the house of the Lord. I was a wee little fella, maybe about this tall, actually smaller. When I brought up, and for that, I'm very, very grateful that my parents brought me up in the house of the Lord. But let's talk about why the house of the Lord is significantly special and why it's so important for you to be in the house. Well, Exodus 33, verse 12 through 17, shares one of the keys, not the only, but one of the most significant keys, and that is the presence of God. I have been to churches that were just really, no criticism or anything, but really flat, dry. It's like the person speaking, it fell. I hope I'm not one of those people. But it just fell flat on the floor and there was nothing there. There was no presence. And then you had people, you know, singing and stuff, and it was flat. There was nothing. You could tell that something's missing. People are going through certain motions, but doesn't look like there's an anointing on it. Like, where is it? And so when I walked into the doors of East Bay Faith Center that at the time, I sensed His mighty presence in the very atmosphere. I did. And many of you have felt the presence of God. And this is not the only place, but it's a good one. Amen, somebody? Again, this is not the only place. You know, there are a lot of places that are serving God and accommodating the presence of God. But you need to know that honoring the presence of God is a major, major value in this church. There are things about this church where we make a requirement of ourselves to wait on the Lord and pray certain ways and seek the Lord and inquire of Him until the glory is present. Amen. And I just so appreciate it. You better believe that people that get behind this pulpit, they're not just eating popcorn and watching baseball games the day before. They are really seeking God. The unction is tangible. So I want you, let's talk about the presence of the Lord. Exodus 33, this is a familiar portion of Scripture, verses 12 through 17. It says, "Then Moses said to the Lord, 'See, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and that I have also found grace in your sight,'" so to speak. And it says, "Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you, that I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people." We familiar scripture, right? You're all familiar with this. And he said, "My presence," watch this, "my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then Moses says to him in verse number 15, "If your presence," watch this, "if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except that you go with us? And so we shall be separate," or in other words, we'll be unique from all the other nations and the people of the earth, right? "And so the Lord said to Moses, 'I will give you this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name.'" We have a core value in this church that if the presence of God is not on it, we're not going to do it. Amen. And I really like what Brother Moore was sharing when he was here a couple Sunday mornings ago. He said, "Find where the presence of God is and the unction is and stay there." You know, remember he told the story of how he switched up the song in another one, and then everything kind of went flat, you know. And then he says he went back, the Spirit ministered to him, go back to where the unction was. Follow the unction. Amen. Follow the unction of God. And, you know, we'll get into that. So it's God's presence. By now, we should be training ourselves. We had a series of small groups here, 4 weeks worth of following the Holy Spirit. Is that right? The Holy Spirit, our helper. How many appreciated those small groups? We had a chance to share and had a chance to receive. And pastors did a great job with their sermonettes. And I believe it when they say, "This sermon takes like 2 hours or something. Must squeeze it in 20 minutes. Only the anointing, man. They did an awesome job, didn't they? But it says here, in John 14, verses 16 and 17 in the New King James, "I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." I like what we get encouraged to do on a regular basis, and that's to be God inside minded. Be aware that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Carry those conversations with him. Bring him when you go into your time of prayer. Make sure that you're connected with the Holy Spirit. We're abiding in him and he's abiding in us. Is that right? Hallelujah. So the thing that I wanted to draw here is, how is it that we fall out of, we become dull or we lose? Because, you know, sometimes things leak, right? And we have to continually stir ourselves up in some principles. And in 1 Timothy 4:14, Paul says to Timothy, "Do not neglect the gift that is in you." Now, I realize he's talking about the pastoral gift and that. But in our case, we've just studied the gift of the Holy Spirit. We have received an unction. We've been stirred up in it. Those of you that were recently baptized in the Holy Spirit, we've been encouraged. We're being encouraged to not neglect the gift which is in you, which is given by the presbytery, laying on of hands and so forth. So let's talk about neglect for just a few minutes. Can we do that? To neglect is to disregard, to ignore, to overlook, and to pass over it, to bypass it, to disregard. We need to really be careful about these treasures that we have. We have, like the Apostle Paul said, we have treasure in earthen vessels. And we have to pay attention and give ourselves to the unction that God has put in our life. You are anointed. Amen. You've received an unction from the Holy One. But that unction needs to be tended to. That's right. You need to do something with it. You can't just say, oh, I received an unction like they say 20 years ago. No, you've got to stir that unction up on the inside. We need the guidance and the power of the Holy Spirit so much, it's not funny. I'm going to paraphrase for the lack of time or to be more efficient with time. We're encouraged in Hebrews 12, the story of Esau. Esau is described there as a profane person. And profane can mean a number of things. In this case, I'm persuaded it doesn't mean that he was saying bad words. Like, this guy had profanity. In this case, a profane person is one that treats something sacred as common, with irreverence and contempt. Now, I realize that he had a conversation with his dad, and he said of his dad, and he said, you know, Jacob is rightly named that way because he supplanted me two times. He took away my birthright. No, he didn't. He did not take away Esau's birthright. Esau is the one that gave it up. He says, Mom, I'm famished. Give me something to eat. And then, of course, you know, Jacob said, well, sell me your birthright. And then he goes, like, what good is that to me? You know, sure, you can have it. Are you sure? Promise? You know, yes, you can have it. It's worthless, basically. Like, it's more important to have barbecued ribs. Sorry. This bit gets bad. Barbecued goat. Ew. Barbecued ribs, right? It's acquired taste, Mike. Than it is to hang on to something very, very valuable. A typical pattern in human nature is to want to satiate an immediate desire, to get immediate something without any regard for the future. Hallelujah. So that's what he did, Esau. He didn't, I'm sorry, but Jacob didn't take it away. Esau threw it away. You know, now, and then as far as the blessing, yeah, there was some bad things. You know, he conspired with his mom. They put on goat skins and he smelled like his brother and the food was good. And then the father pronounced the blessing. I'm going to take just a couple of minutes. We need to take seriously the idea of fathers pronouncing the blessing. Or if you're the head of your family and your mom, pronouncing the blessing on your kids. So important. I don't know that I have a lot of time for this, but I had a little something about that. But it's very, very strong in the Jewish culture. And maybe others, but in the Jewish culture, it was very, very important. Where they would gather all the children, you know. And then the father would stretch out his hands and bless them and speak blessing over them. So, so critical. Parents, we ought to be speaking blessing over our children. Is that right? And our children's children. There's an anointing there. There's a little nugget there for you. Look into that if you will. Praise the Lord. But let's go this. Let's go a little further. Don't neglect the gift that God has given. Don't throw it away. Don't overlook it. And for that matter, so many gifts. How about a really awesome pastor? Like, I've been here 40 some years and I'm still amazed. Like, thank God. Thank God that he didn't run off with the secretary. Pastor Brenda would just about, huh? No, actually, it's called faithfulness.
That's right.
And then me. I mean, we sat under a faithful man of God, and that same spirit came on me. And I, praise God, I'm going to be celebrating however many it is. But faithfulness, praise the Lord, 46. Huh? Okay. Ask the wife. Speaking of not neglecting. Oh, Lord. Okay. So So we're talking about valuing the things that God has done. All right. One of the things that we need to be careful to not neglect, it will short circuit your blessing. Okay, Esau, there was a blessing. There really was. I mean, they would pronounce it. And what is it that Esau sold? Just go back a little bit. He sold, or he gave away and disparaged his birthright. What's the birthright? The birthright entitled the eldest son to get double of the inheritance than all the others. Double. Just think about that for a minute. And he threw that all away for Popeye's chicken. I mean, come on. Come on. Hallelujah. I'm not glad about it. I mean, but notice what it says. There are certain things we're not to let slip. Let's go to Hebrews 2 quickly. Hebrews 2, 1 through 4. It says, therefore, we ought to give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which is at the first began to be spoken of the Lord and was confirmed by us and so forth and so on. Are you listening to me? Celebrate your salvation. I really like Brother Moore was sharing how, you know, go about saying, I'm delivered. I'm delivered from smoking or whatever it is that you're delivered from. And now that you are, just keep thanking God. Celebrate your freedom. You've been free in Christ. You're free from fear. God has not given you a spirit of fear. You're redeemed from accidents. Come on, somebody. You dwell in the secret place, you're in a preferred position. You've got favor on your life. Favor. And even if something looks like it's not working out too good, you stay faithful to God because He is not going to fail you or His word. Things don't always appear from one day to the next, but you stay steadfast. That's where discipline comes in. We're going to talk about discipline in a little bit. Let's see. Don't neglect the great salvation. Remember that Christ has redeemed you from the curse of the law. Remember that the blessing of Abraham might come upon you, the Gentiles, even the promise of the Spirit. You need to contend for that and hang on to it. It's yours. I said it's yours. Something happens in your life that doesn't line up. You need to contend for the blessing of God. Amen. Don't neglect. Look what in the Amplified Version, what Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4. Do not neglect the gift which is in you, that special inward endowment which was directly imparted to you by the Holy Spirit. You may say to me, hey, Brother Tom, I didn't see anything. Folks, this isn't what you saw just on the surface. There something was imparted to you. A spiritual virtue was imparted to you. And when you stand or sit in this church, when you sit under a ministry like this and the word, the anointed word, is going forth with power and with authority, it's sowing into your life and it's not going to return void. It's producing something in your life. Amen. It's producing. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. It produces. And notice what he said. He says here, yeah, I was just saying that sometimes you don't always see what that inward endowment was, but this is what you do. If you practice and cultivate and meditate upon these duties and you throw yourself wholly into them as your ministry so that your progress may be evident to everyone. So there is a certain amount of working here. You have to work with the anointing. Are you listening? Don't be lazy. Do not be lazy. You got to work some things. Are you listening?
Yes.
Hallelujah. So I'm just going to say something. I don't want to step on any toes, but one of the things that that we need to do is value what's happening in your church. And one of the ways to value is to make sure that you are a vital part, connected. If you're really connected, first of all, vitally connected to Christ. There are a lot of people that we've known like 30 years ago or something. They used to attend or something. And they might be in the area. I'm not, you know, trying to step on any toes or anything. But they're not vitally united to us. I mean, they're still saying, "Oh, Pastor Tom, how are you?" He says, "Hey, it's fine. It's good to see you." You know? And I'm glad to see them. I really am. Are they connected anywhere? No. We were reading in Psalm 92. Those that are planted in the house of our God. Are you listening to me? Planted. You got to be rooted. You got to be drawing something. When I come to church, I come to church to get something. I come to give, but I have to have expectation. You need to have expectation that something's going to happen. Something spiritual and valuable. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Value what God is doing in your church. And so value meeting together. There are a lot of ways to meet in this church. There's prayer meetings. There are some home group situations. There are other ministries like the young adults ministry. And I see people that take advantage of all of those. There's a second wind. Praise the Lord. Not only will you put on a few calories, you'll put some smiles on too. Praise the Lord. How's that pancake breakfast there, guys? It was pretty good, huh? I haven't got those sausages yet. I would check those out. But Pastor Brian and Linda, they get people together, and that's the assembling of yourselves together. Meeting. Don't neglect meeting together. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. There's a whole lot. I mean, this is wonderful. The church service, it's a major part, but there's other things going on in the church too, you know. Be connected, amen. And better than that, get involved to serve, right, May? Amen. Amen. I'm preaching real good, right? Get involved and serve, right?
Yes, yes, come on.
Okay, I thought, you know, sometimes you have to go to places to get an amen. Uh-huh. Hallelujah. So what a stark contrast. It's not just that you show up someplace, but whether you show up expecting or if you show up not expecting too much, like whatever, you know, it's good. Listen, I'm glad that people come to church. I'm glad people tune us in, but you have to have an expectancy. I'm going to tell you a little service that happened, and Jesus was in the house. And this comes from Luke 5, verse 17 through 26. I may skip around a little bit, but here's the story of where it happened on a certain day as Jesus was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who came out of every town in Galilee, Judea and Jerusalem. So you have a bunch of hoopty-hoopties, whatever, grand poobahs, all the doctors and all the PhDs came out to check out Jesus, right? But something happened that I want to share with you in right before verse 18. And the power, listen, the power of the Lord was present to do what? To heal. The power of the Lord was present to heal. All the grand poobahs, did they get healed? No, they didn't. But there was another person, there was another, like Mark Hankins says, everybody needs four crazy friends. That when they tried to find a way in and they couldn't because it was so crowded with all the people checking Jesus out. They said, there's only one way in. We are not turning back. See, that's the voice of faith right there. Yeah, that's expectation.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you listening to me? Yeah. I mean, I don't know about you, but when I go to church and I'm stirring myself up in these things too. Oh, yeah. When I come to church and say, God, talk to me today. Lord, minister, make me a blessing first. Yeah. Make me a blessing to somebody. Yeah. And it's good to be a blessing to somebody. Yeah. But also, Lord, challenge you. Talk to me today. I need to hear from heaven. And so these crazy friends took this guy up on the roof, and you know that they had roof ripping faith. They let him down before Jesus. And the scripture says that Jesus, seeing their faith, I could easily say, seeing their expectation, he said, now these boys, they're serious. I got something to work with here. All these other people with their PhDs and all that, you know, all the Pharisees and Sadducees and all that, they're not working very good. I can't do a thing with them. But this guy, I can do something with him. And when you come to church with that kind of expectation, you're going to be blessed.
Yes, you are. Amen.
They let him down. He said, your sins be forgiven. And all the, we don't like that. What do you mean? You can't forgive sins. He goes, okay, what's easier to say? Your sins are forgiven? This is a good one for those of you that need healing, right? What's easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say rise up and walk? You tell me. And this is so that you know that the Son of Man has power to do both. He says, turn to the paralytic. He says, rise up, take up your bed and walk. It says, immediately he rose up, took up his bed, glorifying God. Wow. Expectation. I remember, I'll tell a little story about myself. I can tell one little story. I remember sometime early in my marriage, I hit a rough spot. Those of you who've been married for a little while, you know that there are rough spots, don't you? I mean, you do know that, right? Okay, all right. I'm in the right place. Not trying to fake anybody out. So I don't know, maybe 30 years ago or something. Now this was almost 40 years ago, actually, almost 40 years. I hit a little rough spot, and I just couldn't stop fighting with my wife. Everything I said was messed up, and I was messed up. I'd rather say that than say she was messed up, because I want to be able to sleep good tonight. I don't want to sleep on the couch. But I want you to know something. I was living in Santa Rosa, working 3 jobs, going to school, college. And I said, this is so bad, I have to do something. I had to come up for air, because everything is a little thing and I need help. And I says, I know where to get help. I'm going to get help in the house of the Lord, because there's His presence there and something is going to happen. So I was just like those guys. I drove from Santa Rosa, and it was a long commute back then. They didn't have that extra little, they changed the freeway a little bit. So it was like an hour and 40 minutes, I think, to get here. And it was a Wednesday night, and I have a 7:30 geometry class. You know, that's the devil right there. So I said, you know what? I'm going to go and I'm going to get something. And I went in faith, just like the lady with the issue of blood. If I could just touch the hem of his garment, I said, if I could just get to that place, just get me to that place. Yeah. Just let me sit under that anointing. Let me be there. And I got to tell you something. I don't even know how it happened. I don't even know what the pastor preached on, because it was my faith. I was just saying, I'm getting something. All of a sudden, this infusion of love and patience came all over me, and I got hope that everything's going to be all right. And I drove home, and I got home real late. Man, that was true Pentecostal, Mike. I mean, I must have got home maybe close to midnight or something. And you know, that 7:30 class is looking for me. It's got. But I want you to know something. I did get something. And we were able to patch things up. I was able to straighten my attitude out. How many know that God will straighten your attitude? Oh, yeah. No. He'll straighten your bad-attitude. Yeah. Some of us have bad-attitudes, and they have to be straightened out. Come on, I'm not the only one. Come on, people. Value what God is doing in your church.
I'm not in it for long. Come on.
Oh boy, I have just a couple of minutes. Okay, here we go. Listen, examples of value. The parable of the hidden treasure. This is Matthew 13, 44 through 46. Listen to some of these examples of value. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. So you know what that ends up? That means he's going to get the pearl too. I mean, he's going to get the treasure. Let's go to the parable about the pearl. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, he went and did what? He sold all that he had. This is important. So I'm going to pause on this for a minute. He sold all that he had. All. I just have a question for you. I just found that Christianity works better when you are sold out for Jesus. You just say, whatever, I'm just all in for Jesus. Everything that I used to have confidence, forget it all. I'm just like the Apostle Paul, what I used to glory in, I call it all but garbage now for the excellency of knowing Christ. And he had pedigree. I mean, he was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He had a great record, at least persecuting the church. But he was with the wrong crowd. Right? Listen to me now. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, forsaking everything. And I believe that, I really believe that we need to sell out for Jesus. To the degree that you sell out, well, what do you mean sell out to Jesus, Brother Tom? I mean that just really make Him Lord of our lives. Like really ask Him, Lord, what should I do? Should I do this or should I do that? Do you want me to go to this class? Do you want me to serve in the parking lot security team? Or do you, just saying, children's ministry and the youth ministry. Do you want me to, what do you want me to, you want me to pray extra? Yeah. You want me to make us listen? Do you want me to sacrifice and start going to the prayer meetings, which is, it's a stretch, Lord, but I can stretch for Jesus. So understand this. There are seasons of stretch. I just want to be real with you. There are seasons of stretch where you need to do something out of your ordinary routine to make progress, but the Lord understands that, and then you'll know when to go back to your regular routine. So, like, if you're going to get up extra early and lose sleep and just wait on God, like I did years ago when I was really in trouble, I would get up really early in the morning and just wait on God and that sort of thing. That lasted for a season, and God delivered. Hallelujah! He helped us out. But I want you to know that there are times where serving the Lord is inconvenient. We're not in this for the convenience. This is not 7-Eleven. Hello. This is the kingdom of God. And there are sacrifices that are worth making. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So I'm going to say something about placing value. How about this? Placing value requires that we forsake something so that we embrace something else of greater value. So I'm just going to bring up something that kind of hits home with several people that I've tried to help, and including myself. Storage units. Ew. How about those sheds that are full of stuff that you haven't used in 40. Come on, people. You know I'm talking good now. How about that junk drawer that's so full of, you know what? You can't even open it. You got to go through stuff. Come on, you got to thin out the herd. Praise the Lord. I just got this revelation. Listen, I told you I'm not old. I'm just older. I got this revelation that I am limited by space and time. I mean, when stuff is in my office to where I can hardly move around, it's time to do something.
Yes, that's right.
If you are on your fourth or fifth storage unit and you can't even remember what's in the first one, and you're paying $1,000 a month for storage, you need to learn to lighten up, man. You need to go through that stuff. Get some help. Talk to Pastor Kimberly. Get some help. She'll help you get it straight, man. Oh, hallelujah. You know, can I just be honest with you? After throwing away so much stuff, I don't even miss it. I don't even know what did I throw. I mean, we went through purges. Like, we purged some books and purged more books and purged more books and purged more of everything. And all of a sudden, like, what is, you don't even remember, didn't even notice. You made the value judgment of this is important, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, and this is not. You kept certain things and you gave away others or threw it away. But be responsible with your things. Don't let stuff have you. Make sure that you're making your stuff serve the Lord. Amen. Oh, man. We're doing pretty good. I got 9 minutes. Hallelujah. You know, Brother Moore does a message and he addresses things like covetousness. It's like covetousness is very interesting. I'm going to try to not misquote the teaching, but it hit me between the eyes. It's like if you have stuff that you are not using, yeah, sure, you can own it and it's paid for and you can look at it and it's real shiny. But if you're not using it and someone else can,
that's right,
That qualifies, oh, that was a real good definition of covetousness. Like having things that you could never get around to actually using it. Yeah. 5 sets of china, like really? Like all right, ladies, I'm gonna step on your shoes a little bit. How about a closet full of 5,000 shoes? I'm talking bad now. She ain't shouting too good now, Brother Mike. But you know, the fact of the matter is, we had a closet like, not 5,000, but Pastor Kimberly's wearing some shoes today and they were falling apart when she came out here. The same thing happened to Pastor Brenda, that she came in to do a ladies' meeting and the shoe fell apart. You know, shoes don't last forever, do they? It was so old, it fell apart on the poor girl. Right, honey? It was awful.
And they got new ones in the closet.
And they got... Yeah, I got them on sale, right? See, we're having a good time in church. Here's the principle. You have to give up to go up. Can you say it with me? Give up to go up. Get rid of the junk. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So I believe that we have... God has gifted us with the Holy Spirit. One of the things that He's helping us to do is to have self-control. And self-control is really, really important. Without self-control, man, our lives just kind of spin out of control. Is that right? No, notice what it says in 1 Corinthians 9:27, New King James, or 1 Corinthians 9:27. How am I doing up there? Am I doing okay with the media? Okay, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Okay. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. And so discipline is a real important thing. I'm just going to talk from my heart right quick. You need to pray over the plans that God has given you in your heart. Exercise your faith to go onward and upward. Amen. And here's a thought. You can, I think this to be true. Think about it. You can't think your way into an action, but you can act your way into a feeling. Yeah, you can't feel your way into an action. So let me give an example. Suiting up. Like, I don't like painting. I really don't. But I don't know why it's so hard, but somehow just putting on the duds and this and that and putting on the right clothes, it's almost up there with crawling under the house and doing insulation. So you just got to suit up and just do it. Right, Mike? Just suit up. How about exercise? There's a good one for you. Somehow you feel better when you have the exercise clothes. Like, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Give me that gym. Give me that mountain. Give me that bicycle. Give me that treadmill. I'll take it for the Lord, you know. Suiting up, man. But you have to, you start with an action. You just, and a lot of times it's just suiting up. Well, a lot of times people say, well, I don't want to go to church. Yeah, well, just get your foot out of bed and get the other one. Say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice. Honey, oh yeah, right. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And then you start washing, you start shaving, and before you know it, hey, this cleaned up pretty good. Hallelujah. And you put on that suit, right? Put on whatever it is that you're going to wear to church, and all of a sudden, you're awake and you're ready and you're building your expectation, praying in the Holy Spirit in the morning. That's a good thing, friends. Hallelujah. Suit up. Suit up. Everybody say, suit up. We've got to value His will. I want a couple of quotes from famous people about discipline. In reading the lives of great men, I found that the first victory they won was over themselves. Self-discipline with all of them came first. Harry S. Truman. Here's Elbert Hubbard. Self-discipline is the ability to make yourself do what you should do when you should do it, whether you feel like it or not. Hallelujah. This is Napoleon Hill. Don't know these people, but it seemed good to me. Self-discipline begins with the mastery of your thoughts. Pretty biblical. If you don't control what you think, you can't control what you do. That's biblical. Casting down wicked imaginations. Amen. Value the things of God. Value the Word. Value His presence. Value your church. Value each other. Husbands, come on, value your wife. Moms and dads, value your children. Even though you have to do it by faith sometimes. Sleep deprived and they're hurting your ears because they're yelling loud. Honor each other. Amen. Value each other. In closing, let's see what we're going to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe that if we live that way by valuing things, praise the Lord, that you're going to see a greater move of God in your life and in our church. Amen, somebody. And I like to say this. I know this, that this is a great company of believers, man. I have seen so many breakthroughs in this house that it just excites me. And I want to say this last scripture because I want to end on a shout. Who's going to shout with me if I end up on a shout? Okay, I'll shout alone if I... Okay, thank you. I see one or two hands. Psalm 126 in the Amplified. When the Lord brought back the captives who returned to Zion, we were like those who dream. It seemed so unreal. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongues with singing. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. God is doing some great stuff for you guys. Amen. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. The song says, He has made me glad, not He has made me sad. Hello, somebody. Turn to freedom our captivity and restore our fortunes. Hallelujah. If you were on the losing end of a deal, seek the Lord. Keep your heart right. It won't be long before He will restore your fortune. Hello. Oh Lord, as the streams of the south and Negev are restored by the torrents, they who sow in tears shall reap in joy and singing. Keep sowing the word. Keep faithful. Use discipline. Seek the Lord. Speak the word of God. Hello, somebody. Amen. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. He who goes forth bearing seed and weeping at needing his precious supply of grain for sowing shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Hallelujah. I believe that this church believes in a God that turns things around. Yes, he answers prayer. That He's a good God. Amen. All the time. All the time. Hallelujah. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. Yes. You don't work for it. It comes from above. Praise God, from the Father of lights, no shadow of turning with Him. He'll bless you. If you don't watch out, God will bless you real good. Hallelujah. But if you expect it, you'll say like, that was God. And share the story. Let people be blessed with you. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for the sharing of Your word. Help us to value the kingdom of God. Help us to value the anointing of God. Thank You for helping us to value each other. Thank You for helping us to value our pastors and our church leaders and those that have the watch over us, Lord God. Hallelujah. We thank You and we praise You for this time. We are in a season of increase. And we know, Lord, that Your hand is upon us for good. Thank You, Lord. I just believe that You are at work making things better as we apply ourselves to the kingdom of God, selflessly serving You and each other. In Jesus' mighty name, can you say amen? Amen.